Welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Bob Thune, and for today's conversation, we're going back into the archive. Occasionally, our schedules prevent us from recording a new episode, and so when that happens, we lean back into some older episodes that we think will still have relevance for Christians today. We have almost 500 episodes of this podcast in the books, and so we've got a lot to draw from. So because our schedules prevented us from recording a new conversation today, I want to invite you to go back into the archive with us and enjoy this episode from a few years back.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Conversation. I'm not Mike Kresnick, I'm Bethany Gilbert, and I'm here with Pastor Bob Thune and Pastor Dusty White of Coram Deo Church and Pastor Chris Hemmelman of First City Church in Bellevue, Nebraska. Every Wednesday we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life, and today we're talking about the three phases of discipleship.
Bethany, such a pleasure to have you hosting the podcast
thank you.
Today.
Thanks.
Yeah. And we've been talking about discipleship a lot lately, and we're going to keep that thread going. A lot of good listener feedback, a lot of good questions coming in through email, a lot of people wanting us to continue to parse out various aspects of what discipleship looks like. And we're going to tackle on this podcast something I hinted at in a past podcast, which is the three phases of discipleship. I have some really good pastor friends around the country. A sort of just dense network of friendship with some key insightful leaders and readers and thinkers. And so they're always feeding me interesting books and helpful resources. One of them sent me recently, said, "Hey, this is a really helpful book for spiritual and leadership formation. The book is called Sacred Fire, A Vision for Deeper Human and Christian Maturity." The author is Ronald Rollheiser. Ronald Rollheiser is a Catholic spiritual director, so he's not in our stream. But here's what I've learned about especially the Catholic expression of spiritual direction is that there's just deep wisdom in this tradition. These are men and women who sit with people and who talk about soul-level realities, and there's usually a deep insight and wisdom within this tradition that oftentimes the Protestant tradition either lacks or we just don't seem to value it in the same way and make space for it. And so I've found that reading Roman Catholic writers in the area of spiritual direction is often really helpful. Here's the provocative thing about this book by Ronald Rollheiser. Basically what he says is we need to line up the idea of the seasons of human life with spirituality. And the way he describes it is this: you're going to struggle with different forces at different seasons of your life. There's always struggle and battle, and sanctification is always this process and this journey, but the forces that beset us change throughout the seasons of our lives. And I was just like, that's just a brilliant insight. Of course, yes, everybody just, that's a common grace insight that we can see and nod at. But basically what he does in this book is he says, let me frame up for you three stages of discipleship that correspond to three seasons of life. Okay, so if you want to, this is a little overly simplistic, but if you want to think about it in terms of the phases, it would be like, think about age 20 to 40, age 40 to 60, and then age 60 and beyond. Okay, so that's sort of how this breaks out. And he just says, hey, as you grow in life, you're progressing through these various sort of types of spiritual struggle, and the things that you wrestle with and the major issues of discipleship look a little bit different in these three phases. So what I did is I wrote a little summary for those of us around the table and just sort of summarized his key insights. And that's what we really want to do on this podcast, is just bring you into, at a very simple level, Ronald Rollheiser's basic insights here, because I think they really help us as we think about discipleship. So here's Rollheiser's contention. We can divide the spiritual journey into three distinct phases. The first phase is what he calls essential discipleship. And the subtitle there is the struggle to get our lives together. Okay, that's everybody from 18 to 40, usually. That's like that the 20s and 30s, that season of life, the struggle to get my life together. Who am I? What am I supposed to do in the world? That's the struggle. The second phase is what he calls mature discipleship. And the subtitle there is the struggle to give our lives away. And then the final phase is what he calls radical discipleship, and that is the struggle to give our deaths away. So there's your three phases: essential discipleship, mature discipleship, radical discipleship. Again, these are his words. I don't know all that he intends to convey, but I think these three stages do correspond to sort of how we think about the progress or the journey through life. So let me frame out a few ideas in each of these sections, and then we'll just sort of talk about them and how they help us think about discipleship. Think about this phase of essential discipleship, essentially, you know, 15, 18, 20 till about age 40, or maybe in your 30s, depending on life, maybe later. I mean, again, these aren't clean, clear, well-defined transition points, but it's just this essential phase of life. He says, during that phase of life, our primary struggles are these: restlessness, wanderlust, sexuality, the quest for freedom, and the hunger for experience. If you're in that early season of life, those are probably your primary spiritual struggles. I'm restless. I want to kind of go everywhere and travel and do everything. I have deep sexual urges. I really long to be free, and I really crave experience. I just want to sort of take life by the reins and experience everything there is to experience. Okay. He says the primary struggles during midlife or the phase of mature discipleship are these: disappointment, tiredness, boredom, frustration, and resentment. A very different set of struggles. And then he says radical discipleship, the struggle in that season is really, what does it mean to prepare for death in a meaningful way? Not that, oh gosh, once I get beyond that middle season of life, gosh, all I have to look forward to is death. But he just basically says a Christian approach to the later season of life is, how do I seek to leave a legacy and seek to allow my death to be a blessing, to leave this planet in such a way that our diminishment and death is our final and perhaps greatest gift to the world? And there, he doesn't write much on this. This whole book is sort of about that middle phase of mature discipleship, but his insights on radical discipleship are really amazing, because he basically says, American culture has taught us to see weakness, neediness, and sort of like, you know, being dependent on others as a negative thing. And he said, actually, it's one of the greatest gifts we can give to people, is to allow them to see us be needy and weak. And when people are aging and they're dying and they're dependent on the community that's around them, that's a great gift to the people around them who have to care for them and have to experience dealing with fragility and dealing with mortality. And so he says, there's a very countercultural way that Christ and the gospel teaches us to look at that phase of life and that sort of weakness that our culture does not want to think about or look at. All right, so guys, just as we talk about, let's kind of focus on those first two phases, that essential discipleship, how do I get my life together? How do I conquer all these urges and impulses? And then mature discipleship, you know, these boredom, restlessness, tiredness, disappointment, frustration. What help does that give us in just thinking about what discipleship looks like for someone who's a little younger or for someone who's a little more in the middle season of life?
I'm listening to you over here just summarize these different categories, and the essential discipleship category definitely resonates with where I felt like I was at. And I think personally I'm somewhere between essential discipleship on certain days of the week and mature discipleship on others, if that makes sense. Cause I feel myself almost 40, not quite, transitioning to this mature discipleship. So I'm starting to feel some of the pitfalls of that category and how those are starting to seep in. And so all of this resonates with me as a disciple.
Yeah, I'm with you, Dusty. I think thinking through this personally, and just the categories that this gives me as I think about my own process of discipleship, find it incredibly helpful, because it does describe a lot of those inner struggles and even kind of moving into, I mean, I'm a couple of years from 40, so kind of hitting a transition phase, that just sort of thinking through like how these different priorities and inner struggles are how I'm experiencing those things and what's going on inside me. So I'm resonating with this personally. But as I think about discipling other guys who are largely younger, I guess the question that comes to my mind is how to build these things out for guys, like how to put these, build these categories in guys' minds. So as I engage them in a discipleship relationship, how do I or maybe I should ask this question, Bob, as you've read the book and reflected on this a little bit more, how do we use these categories self-consciously? Or how do we get other guys to use these categories self-consciously?
I think the helpful thing is just naming, hey, if you're between the age of 20 and 40, your basic struggle is how do I get my life together? Like, you'd be a really super mature, ahead of yourself person if you were wrestling with disappointment, tiredness, boredom, frustration, and resentment at age 30. Like, probably you're wrestling with wanderlust, sexual lust, the quest for freedom. Like, you see what I'm saying? So Chris, I think it just helps me as I'm thinking about discipleship to say, hey, anyone in their 20s and 30s, I'm really helping them land the big questions. So here's, and obviously having raised some teenagers and sort of helping them make this shift toward independence, I'm sort of feeling this in two ways. Like, a lot of the people in our church are in their 20s and 30s, and then I've got kids who are like entering this phase. So here's how Rollheiser builds this out. He says, this is a time of searching and longing, right? So think about every coming of age movie, right? And it's basically about, I'm moving out from a place of sort of security where my identity's sort of been defined for me by my parents. And I'm trying to answer these questions. Who am I? Where am I going to find meaning? Where can I find love? Where can I find a sense of home? In fact, he says the journey of adolescence is the journey of being driven out from home and then finding home again. And that's really every coming of age movie is about that. Like, I've left one home. What does it mean to come home again? And that's so helping people answer that question. Who am I? Where do I find meaning? Where do I find love? Where do I find belonging? How do I ground my identity in the world? And so in this phase of discipleship, I think like identity in Christ, a commitment to obedience and following of Christ, that sort of decisive, yes, I'm in following Jesus and I'm willing to wrestle with the implications of the gospel for restlessness, for sexuality, for the hunger for experience and just wanting to sort of like live everything and do everything. I even think like the book of Ecclesiastes is a helpful book here, you know, to be able to say, hey, here's a guy that did all that stuff. And basically what he's saying is it's all vanity, you know? So like a younger person needs to hear biblical wisdom that, hey, these longings, questions, and sort of like all this energy is not in itself bad or wrong, but it can really lead us in unhelpful and unhealthy directions. So Chris, for me, it just provides a template for what are going to be the basic struggles for discipleship? What are the basic questions that are going to be asked? And how do I need to help give wisdom there? Now, on the contrary, in that mature discipleship stage, which is kind of where I've transitioned to, and I do think I felt that transition pretty squarely around age 40 of just like starting to feel a lot more like boredom of like, okay, well, what else is there for me to, like, is this what, have I done what I'm supposed to do? And a lot of resentment, a lot of like, I'm angry about how certain things in life have turned out or the things I thought I would be at this age that I'm not. And so helping my friends at that season of life realize, hey, that's normal. The standard like midlife crisis, even though it can sort of be like a cliche, I think it really is a thing. And what he's saying is because the questions all change, and Rollheiser's writing as a man, he writes the book to everyone, but I think his experiential world is that of a man. And so he says, if you think about a man who's like sort of dealing with wanderlust, restlessness, sexuality, then maybe he marries, settles down, takes on a job, takes on some responsibilities, committed to a marriage covenant. And like, now he's like in his 30s and he's like, okay, so I have a mortgage. I have this job that's not super fulfilling. I'm just like paying the bill. Like every guy's sort of like, oh, crap, what did I get myself into here? You know? And so like that sort of can breed resentment of like, man, I thought I was going to like change the world. And then here I am working my normal job, paying my normal mortgage in my normal neighborhood with my normal friends in a life that doesn't feel super adventurous. Again, experientially, I don't think that's just men that feel that, but that's the world I'm living in and the world that Rollheiser's writing in. So I just think it's common for people to sort of face that. A lot of the people I disciple are facing that sort of like growing sense of anger, frustration, resentment, boredom. Is this all there is in life? And sort of the classic midlife crisis movie is sort of playing on that, right? It's the guy who's 40 that wants to, you know, divorce his wife and date the 20-year-old, that wants to quit his job and, you know, go buy a boat and sail around. It's those kinds of things. What's getting sort of surfaced is that there's this essential boredom or apathy or sense of resentment about life that I sort of want to throw off all these sort of things that have tied me down and go back to being 20 again. And that's a real honest temptation at that season of life. And so I guess that's a really long answer to your question, to say these, I think, give us helpful categories that say, hey, not every struggle is going to fit these, but in general, there's a paradigm here that can be helpful in thinking about what's discipleship look like when I'm 25 and how's it different when I'm 45 and how will it be different when I'm 65?
Yeah, it definitely creates lived-in categories where kind of think of discipleship in not this sort of just general nebulous term of I got to grow as a disciple of Jesus, but really trying to flesh it out of, hey, this is what I'm experiencing in life at this stage. That's what I really appreciate about that. I think maybe the other question I have too is, what gaps do you think this fills? And maybe we're kind of answering that question as we're going along. What gaps does this these paradigms fill that maybe you see missing in other kind of discipleship curriculum approaches, et cetera?
I'm not sure what it replaces, Chris, but what I hear and what I feel through reading his stuff is a great amount of freedom, because basically what it's saying is in the essential category and in that essential phase of life, I still need to be discipled. I still need to be understanding who I am. I still need to be becoming more and more self-aware so that I can become mature the way Christ intends. And then, so basically I think the question I'm asking if I'm in that category is, do I know myself and am I open to feedback? And I thought I was going to do this with my life and now it feels like I might not be. And can I actually transition? Am I teachable in those things? And then the other piece is, into the mature discipleship category, are people seeking me out? Am I able to coach others? Is it, can I actually give my life away, to use his language? Can I disciple others in a generous way, freely? And so I think what's super helpful to me is that he just gives an immense amount of freedom to just say, hey, it's actually, what I hear him saying is like, it's just really normal to question yourself in your 30s and to think, you thought you were going to do this, now you're doing this. And can you, in a mature way, adjust to who God is calling you to be?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll come back to your question in a minute, Chris. I'm interested, Bethany, how does this resonate with you? What do you hear here?
So I think that I'm definitely like fall square in the middle of the essential discipleship category. And the thing that I just keep thinking about is like, okay, when I'm like reading through the description of that, there's just a lot of like, there's a lot of questions, which I'm like, yes, I feel like I'm always questioning everything, and a lot of self-doubt. And if I'm being completely honest, I feel like I just am lacking in like self-confidence. I just feel like I don't have it together. I just don't have anything together. And so when I'm thinking about like discipleship, I'm like, well, shoot, should me, a person who feels like they don't have their crap together, what does it look like for me to be discipling somebody either in the same category or to be seeking like somebody maybe who's in that mature discipleship category? I guess I'm just kind of trying to tease that out in my head. What does that look like?
Well, and I think part of what I hope is that this relieves a little bit of that, to say, yeah, and it's okay that you don't, you know, like no one in their 20s and 30s feels like they have anything figured out. No one in their 40s and 50s really does either.
Yeah.
But especially in that sort of like when everything's about question and longing and sort of like, what am I here for? That's a really common, like you just sort of feel like, man, I don't even know what I'm doing. Like I remember being in, you know, like getting married and going, what in the world am I? I don't even know what I'm doing. I don't even know how to be a guy, let alone a husband, you know, like what am I, why am I here? Mm-hmm. And so that feeling doesn't go away. And in a sense, there's part of the freedom is just embracing like, okay, that's normal. Mm-hmm. There's no, maybe there is, I don't know who they are. There's no 30-year-old that's like, dude, I've got this nailed. I've figured out exactly who I am and why I'm here and what it means to walk with Jesus. And
but what this is why it's essential content is because everybody in their 30s is usually acting like they do.
Yes. Right? Well,
so that's why this is gold.
Pretending.
Yeah, and is there an expectation? So like, Bethany, do you feel like there's an expectation you should have this stuff figured out?
Kind of, I think somewhat.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering is, in a sense of, this brings a level of freedom.
Yes.
But is there either implicitly or explicitly, on purpose or maybe accidentally, this pressure that we feel like, man, I have to have it together, even by the time I'm 25. I mean, I got to know what my career is. I got to, you know, who I'm going to marry, and like, boom, 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 have it all figured out.
Yes. And there are those pressures. But I think that's like the thing that Rollheiser's pressing is, he says, you live in a culture that's schizophrenic because your culture wants to tell you both, if you don't have a job, a spouse, and a life plan by the time you're 25, and probably two college degrees, or you're working on your master's, then you're, you know, you're behind in life. and you should be forever free, forever adventurous, spending money wherever you like, you know, have a great Instagram feed. Like you should just be like totally free and totally committed at the same time.
Yeah.
And you can never be both of those things. And so he's sort of saying, so I think the gospel frees us to embrace both the questions and longings that are going to remain a little bit unanswered and the quest to say, how does the gospel free us to embrace restriction and limitation and just say, here's the place I live. Here's the spouse I have or don't have. Here's the job I have. Here's the responsibilities I have. You know, here's what my life consists of right now. And it's not everything I hoped. It's not everything I dreamed. There's some pieces of it that still seem up in the air to me, but kind of this is what I'm settled into. And what's interesting is as he frames up sort of that mature discipleship category, basically what he says is what most of us experience is responsibility ties us down. Like he describes mature discipleship this way. Mature discipleship begins when we begin living more for others than for ourselves. And he says, usually the thing that dictates that is duties and responsibilities. Oh crud, I have a mortgage, I got to pay it. Or gosh, I have a spouse or some kids and I'm responsible to them. Or, you know, like just, I got tied down by these set of responsibilities that I embraced and now that limits me and I'm not free to, you know, do whatever I want to do. And so in the same way that sort of, he's sort of saying, those things kind of answer some of the questions for us, right? Where am I going to live? Well, I live here now because this is where my job is, you know? And the resentment comes after I've done that for 10 or 12 years. I'm like, gosh, is this really the only thing I've gotten done to this? Now I'm 40 and this is the only place I've ever lived and it's the only thing I've ever done. And so in a sense, I think there's freedom in saying, he's trying to free us to say, those questions are never going to get fully answered. And part of how God means to answer them is by the very mundane things that sort of tie us down. You know, the work we do, the place we live, the family that we're connected to, these are the things that sort of begin to give us a sense of place that is both limiting and freeing, you know?
What's really interesting about that is when we were leaving California in our mid-20s and we were coming back to Omaha, there was a part of me that died inside, if I'm being honest, because I kind of felt like the goal growing up was to leave Omaha, right? To speak to that essential discipleship where I'm feeling this urge to like get out, like move away. But then coming back seemed like, well, that's not the plan. Like that's not in my mind what seemed like success, if you will, or like finding myself or having a contribution to the world. So when other people had to tell me that was probably best, and then landing here in my mid-20s and now I'm still here and seeing the Lord actually use that and hone that and hone my gifting. Anyway, I'm just saying I personally have experienced the restlessness of the essential piece and I feel like I'm growing into, oh yeah, this is where I'm supposed to be and this is who I am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as I'm reading the summary and digesting more of this, I think the thing that I appreciate about this but also lament somewhat is I didn't necessarily have someone walking me through this.
Come on.
In the sense that I was experiencing all these things and I didn't even really know what to make of it all. And so to have someone kind of walk you through and even kind of say, hey, it's okay. Like you don't have to resolve all this tension and all this angst that you feel. It's a process. It takes time. But needing someone that could sort of look at the chaos going on in my soul and kind of help me navigate and steer through that would have been helpful. So I just thinking, man, this is good because there's probably a lot of guys that are experiencing these things, guys and gals that are experiencing these things and don't really know what to do with it. Don't really know what to make with it.
Well, and I think that comes back to both the question you and Bethany were asking of just, you know, what do we do with this? I think part of it is just, I hope this helps us help people by sort of giving a pattern of, you know, what are normal questions to be asking at my season of life and how should I walk through them? And so back to your question, Bethany, okay, if I feel like I'm in the essential phase, is there someone I can find that can help me answer whatever questions I feel like I don't have any tracks to run on here, yeah. you know? And for those of us who, like you said, Chris, have had to like figure that out on our own and sort of feel like, well, we're kind of behind because we didn't have anybody walking us through that. Can we turn around and help others who are coming behind us just by helping them have some categories here? You know, like I think about raising children and releasing them out into the world, which is the season I'm in, and the whole, like the key questions, who am I? Where do I find meaning? Who will love me? I think the sort of like compulsion some parents have is my job is to answer those questions for my kids mm-hmm. so that they don't have them. Mm-hmm. Like, nope, they're going to have them. Mm-hmm. And so like, in a sense, I just get to embrace with them, hey, it's okay that you're wondering who you are. And I want to ground you in identity in Christ and your identity in this family. But there's a piece of that you're going to have to figure out on your own. Like no one can answer that question fully for you because it's you and you've got to figure out who you are. So that sort of mentoring, walking alongside people as they answer these questions, I think is the most helpful thing. And the reason we wanted to devote a podcast to this is just to say, these phases help us, Chris, walk with people and find people to walk with, and at least give us some tracks of like, what should be the major things I should be feeling and answering. And so again, this comes out of my, what we call the Soul Brothers, which is my band of brothers that I sort of walk with who are pastors. And the funny thing about us is we're all in our 40s now, but we all planted churches when we were like 30, 31. And so all of us have been walking through this shift over the past 5 years. It's just like, man, like when I planted the church, it was like, I want to dominate the world. I want to like take the next hill. I want to like, we're going to be the best. We're going to dominate everything. We're gonna, you know, like, it was all this sort of like restless energy poured into the mission of God. And now we're all like, is this all we're going to do in life? And like, you know, it's like, we finally did that thing. And should I quit and go be a plumber? And you know, it's like, it's those kinds of questions of just like, really, is this all there is to life? And it's not that we're unsatisfied with what the Lord has done. It's just that we're asking a different set of questions and entering a different season of discipleship. And so it's been fun to sort of realize like, oh, that's normal. Yeah. We're not crazy. And it's not that we've all like, we're like the old timers that have lost our fire and it's time to hang it up. But it's that the questions and the longings and the challenges in this season are just different. And that's to be expected.
Soul Brothers. That kind of sounds like a Motown group, Dusty.
Yeah, I think they're coming out with an album soon. No. So here'd be one of my questions about the mature discipleship category. As you're asking these questions now, and it feels completely normal, what's that look like for longevity? What's that look like for steadfastness to continue to grow into those questions and those answers in mature discipleship?
I mean, it might be that we're preaching the Psalms this summer, but this is why I think the Psalms are helpful in the book of Ecclesiastes. Because in a sense, you have to say, here's what happens for people in my season of life. And I've seen this happen like with a lot of pastors, right? They plant a church, build something in their 30s. It's fairly successful. They've in a sense done the thing they sort of set out to do. Now they feel disappointment, tireless, boredom, frustration, resentment. And what they do is blow something up because they're just like, you know, whether it's their own life, whether it's their marriage, whether it's their church, it's just like, I don't know what to do with all of that. I didn't expect this. And now it's sort of like, the answer is to relieve disappointment, relieve tiredness, relieve boredom by adventure or, you know, something unhealthy.
Yeah,
right?
That's good.
Rather than entering into this, I think the mature discipleship is, what does it mean to enter into this and say, this is not unknown to God's people. The psalmist felt it. Solomon felt it. The writer of Ecclesiastes felt it. What does it mean to enter in and seek the Lord in the midst of these things? And then move into and through that. So like the question is, for instance, to use disappointment or boredom as a category, am I looking to relieve my boredom because I never want to be bored? Or am I looking to say, maybe boredom is associated with this season of life. Mm-hmm. And there's a settling into faithfulness in the midst of that, rather than a rejection of that and say, I'm going to go find some adventure because I'm unhappy, you know? And like, I just think like there's a lot of my friends from college and friends from life who are like getting divorced right now. Like their life is full of, well, I raised my kids or I did my thing or I got to this place in my career and now I'm kind of unhappy. And the answer is to change something. You know, the answer is mm-hmm. to explode something and go back to pretending like I'm 23. Mm-hmm. Nah, you're not, you know, like, and if you pretend that you are, everybody looks at you and goes, that's dumb. Those are the people we write sitcoms about or the people who are like 43 trying to pretend they're 23. That just doesn't work. You know, that's not maturity and it's not Christ-likeness. And so there's a moving through and into that. I guess that's what I'm saying is there's a entering into this in a deeper way and seeking the Lord in the midst of it rather than a bailing, a pushing back against it and trying to move back to a different season that was about something different and that the struggles were different, you know? Mm-hmm. Let me give you three practical questions for these three phases, and we'll sort of like end the podcast there. In that essential discipleship phase, just realize the primary question is probably, who am I? In the fullest sense, you know, what is my identity? What grounds me? What am I meant to contribute to the world? Just all those questions of like identity and purpose and meaning and significance. Those are going to be the primary questions. The primary question in the mature discipleship phase is going to be, how do I give my life away more fully and more generously? How do I just like be self-giving and generous with whatever I have to give to the world? And that in that radical discipleship phase, that later season of life, the question is, what does it mean to prepare to leave a legacy and to die in a way that's not grasping for what I don't have anymore, but that's entering into eternity and that leaves a blessing for those behind me? And so if we can sort of think of those three major questions, one is sort of like establishing identity and purpose. One is, what does it mean to be fully generous with who I am? And then one is, what does it mean to prepare for the end? Even if the end is 30 or 40 years away, what does it mean to start beginning to be intentional about what that's going to look like for those who come behind me? It feels to me like that's just, as we think about the wisdom literature of the Bible, those are the three categories it's always working with. Who are you and what are you here for? What does it mean to give yourself away? And what does it mean to die in a way that's holy and godly and precious and that blesses those around you? So hopefully that just gives you a starting point for thinking about the phases of discipleship and helping you know what some of the key questions and struggles will be.
Additionally to that, I think going back to what you said earlier, Bob, about your kids, I think in the essential discipleship category, my job then becomes I need to try a bunch of things and be very open to feedback, right, with trusted folks. And then when I hit the mature discipleship phase, I have to actually know who I am and settle into the contribution that I can have to my city and to my church and to my culture. And I need to really hone in on that and live there and not try to be somebody that I'm not, not try to go backwards and not try to live too far forward. I need to actually settle into my gifting and my calling. And I see this play out in people, but I also see it play out in churches. And so as a Christian in the city, it's essential to understand this. And also in ministry, it's essential to understand this because I see so many people in ministry not settle into who they actually are. And they're trying to compensate or they're trying to become something that they're not gifted in.
The goal of this podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or a church leader in another context, we thank you for listening in and we pray that this conversation might be helpful to you as you minister in your own context. We always love to hear from listeners, so if you have thoughts, questions, or future podcast topics, send us an email at podcast@cdomaha.com.